Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, good morning to you. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, Celeste Malloy is going to join us. We're going to talk more on Northern Corridor and pretty interesting quotes put out. They put out a press release quoting all of our local political leaders, and they're all condemning the decision made by the federal government, saying it went back on its word. And, well, we're going to get her thoughts on that and talk to her a little bit about the Northern Corridor. I'm curious if any of you out there have differing opinions than this is a bad decision. Maybe some of you out there are like, yeah, you know what, it's not a bad decision. I don't know. But, one of the things the county commissioners always point out to me, Victor and Adam and Gil, we're not anti-environment. We're not anti-tortoise. We are just anti the feds who have never been to St. George telling us we got to put a freeway in on Red Hills Parkway because there are, you know, what, a dozen tortoises in you know, an area of the, I don't know. Some people say it comes down to principle. Well, if you start violating a protected reserve, then it's going to set a precedent and it's going to ruin all the preserves all over the United States. And I don't think that's true. But the other thing is that other parcel of land they offered them, you know, what they call Section 6 or whatever it is out there. Who wouldn't want, you know, 6,000 acres for 154. It just seems like a no-brainer. And they're like, well, but the tortoises will, actually the tortoises will have way more land than they ever had to roam on. But anyway, we're going to talk, we'll get with Celeste about that in a little while. We'll also do a monkey update. Stockton is with me as well this morning. Morning, Stockton. Uh-oh. We're not hearing you, man. There must be a button that needs to be pushed. We'll get him going in a minute. I'll leave your mic on so that when your thing's working, we can hear you. But we're going to get a monkey update from, you know, the escaped monkeys in South Carolina. Yeah, 43 of them escaped.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
There you are. All right. You ready for a monkey update?
Yes, please.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
Of course. No, I don't. Listen, I'm already too much of a monkey myself. I'd rather not.
By the way, you're a bird guy, though.
Yes.
Did you see that story on the wire this morning about people in California killing birds?
No, what?
Yeah, so I guess there's a lot of, they call them wild parrots. They were parrots that were owned by people, and they flew away or got away or whatever. And so they have like a whole flock of them in California, and somebody is shooting the parrots, killing them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There's so much wrong with that, because it's not just like, oh, that's sad, that was someone's pet or whatever, or it's like an escaped animal. Those animals, a lot of them are not used to, they're not meant to live in this kind of environment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the fact that they're actually living is a testament just to their resilience. And,
yeah,
all that. And then they just,
and some knuckleheads shooting them down.
And also, they are expensive.
Oh, yeah?
Those parrots, oh, my gosh. Cockatiels, like what I have, are like, I want to say, when I got, okay, I think the last time I went to the nearby pet store by our office, they're the only people in town that I believe that sells cockatiels. And it's
Give me a ballpark.
$400.
$400?
Yeah. Ooh. Now, Matt, do you know what an African gray parrot runs for at the same pet store?
No idea.
Around $3,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they are expensive. So imagine a whole flock of parrots and you shot a bunch of them.
What is the lifespan of a cockatiel and a parrot?
So a cockatiel, the average lifespan is somewhere between like 15 to 25 years, but
that's
there are
good.
Plenty of reports saying that it's around that the cockatiel's living around 30 years.
Wow. Okay.
And then as for parrots, oh my gosh, there is a cockatoo right now that is the oldest cockatoo on record, who used to be in the circus in the 1940s.
No.
Yeah, he's an old guy, and he's still, I mean, that's the interesting thing about them. It's just like, while we get older and we're like, oh, our bones start to, you know, and our bodies start to slow down, and Cockatoos, they're, it's just they're, one day they just plop and die, but they're, that this cockatoo is like 80 years old. And yeah, he's a little slower, but he's just, he's fine.
So these African parrots you were talking about that are 3,000 bucks, if I were to buy one of those, I could count on him being a lifelong companion.
Yeah, those guys absolutely live for like 80 to 90 years.
That's incredible.
As long as you take care of them.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, so on the one hand, I agree, that's very expensive. On the other hand, if you buy a $3,000 Weimaraner or whatever they call them, dog, they're going to live like 9 years. And you're done.
Parrots are a little scarier because, sorry, I'm ranting, but parrots are a little scarier to take care of, not just because of the long lifespan, but also because they have the intelligence and of a 2-year-old, of a toddler.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't increase from there. So it's like you have to take care of a toddler for 90 years, but they're more of like a curious type thing. Oh my gosh, I love them.
Long you don't have to change a diaper, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just their newspaper.
Bird diapers are a thing.
Yeah. All right, back to the monkey update.
Yes, back to the monkeys.
So the story was, it's been about 2 weeks now, the 43 monkeys escaped from this research lab. And they still, this is fascinating. They will not say what they were using these monkeys for.
Yeah.
Because I think they're afraid of, well, if we tell everybody we were experimenting, whatever, people are going to freak out.
You know what was like one of the sketchiest things about it from the get-go? The fact that they didn't have an exact count of the monkeys.
Yeah, they said about 40 to start with. Yeah.
About 40. If you're doing a research facility, I'm pretty sure.
You should know the count
of your monkeys.
Well, there really isn't a huge update because there are still 8 monkeys at large out of the 43. They tried using Fruit Loops. I guess these monkeys love Fruit Loops. I don't know. But they tried using Fruit Loops to lure the monkey. They know the general area of where they are. And so they try to put a trap out with Fruit Loops. But monkeys are pretty smart.
Right?
And they said, nah, I'm not going to fall for that. We'll go get our own Fruit Loops.
Did you, with red dye number five. Did you say that they were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something like that?
I don't know. I don't remember that. But I do remember that they have told people to leave their doors and windows locked and closed because these little monkeys, and they're not big. They're macaw monkeys, and they're only 3 to 6 pounds. So these are pretty small monkeys.
But that means they move fast and they can swim through the trees.
And they will go in through a window and take food out of your kitchen.
Yeah, so these aren't like chimpanzees.
No, these are pretty small, and they like Fruit Loops apparently. So lock up your Fruit Loops. If you're in South Carolina, there was an interesting story, speaking of monkeys, about monkey masculinity. And I thought this was fascinating. So there's a lot in our society about male versus female relations and how men have, in the history of our country and the world, men have treated women more like objects rather than actual equal human beings.
It's an issue that still kind of exists to this day.
And I never bought into it in my particular relationships because my wife and I are equal in every way. In fact, she's greater than me in many ways, and I'm greater than her in some ways, and that's just the way it is. We have this relationship, but the story talks about how in the monkey culture, and they're referring specifically to primates like chimpanzees and orangutans and gorillas, but male gorillas and monkeys treat female gorillas and monkeys like they are property, like they are less than, I can't say less than human, less than monkey.
Yes.
And that is, and because we share so much DNA, so we have so many things in common in our makeup, they say that that's actually men's nature. And that's where it all comes. They call it monkey masculinity. That's where it all comes from way back when, you know, from when caveman on, we have been fighting this in our DNA and in our urge to treat women less than we are as males. And I think we've come a long way, number one. And number two, I've never, ever felt that way. I don't know. You know, some people say in the Mormon culture, you know, the men with the priesthood and women can't have the priesthood, and therefore Mormons are treating women that way too. And I've never felt that. In fact, I have an incredibly smart, intelligent, powerful wife that, you know, makes me understand that women are every bit equal and sometimes greater than men.
The argument that I put forth in regards to the woman not getting the priesthood, there are rules that men can't fill that the women do in the church as well.
True.
And it's just, it would be impossible for a man to do it because just of, you know, there's a motherly need that the church fills, and only the sisters can do that. My mom is extremely proud to fill that role.
Right. And that's one of the things I was going to say, Stockton, is women, yes, women have certain roles they're good at, and we should celebrate those roles, not say, oh, that's terrible that you think a woman should be a mom and should take care of her children. It's not terrible. It's a different role, but it's not terrible at all. In fact, it's a wonderful thing.
I certainly believe you shouldn't shame a woman for wanting to be a mom.
Right, right.
So it's like, yeah.
I just, I look at my life. Now, then you kind of bleed that into the wage gap. A woman doing the same job as a man is going to make, I think the latest number was 73% of her of the salary that the male gets.
That is messed up.
but the thing about that, and I've addressed this before on the show, but the thing about that is when I look at the jobs my wife and I have had over the years, my job has been, this is your number one. While you're at work, your number one priority is work. My wife's job has always been, your number one priority is your job, but if there's something family going on, we'll let you have a little time off. Well, you can go take care of that. My wife could take kids to doctor's appointments in the middle of the day. Now, I'm not saying she deserved less money than the men, but I'm saying that she had an incredible amount of flexibility that I didn't.
That's what I was about to say, a little bit of flexibility with that.
Yeah, it wasn't there. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to turn a blind eye to, like you said, it's kind of messed up that women.
But you're just trying to think of why that's the case.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And people at my wife's work, men versus women, the men have way less flexibility.
Right.
Men, you better be there. You better get that job done. Women, get that job done, but also if you need to go run and do something, you know, take care of your kids or whatever, we understand, come back and try to get the job done when you come back. It's, you know, I'm okay with that. My wife has always been okay with that. Hmm. It's fine. So, I don't know. That's my soapbox there. I don't know if you have anything to add as a younger person with a different perspective, maybe?
I would say that there are a lot of cases right now of women actually feeling like they're overworked. Specifically when they get out of college, they finally get their degree and they go to the big city and they find a job. And they think it's what they want and they go. And, I mean, there's this really famous video of this girl essentially just kind of breaking down because she feels like she doesn't have any time for her personal life and she's not getting paid as much as the person next to her the guy next to her that was hired the same time. And, you know, they have the same amount of, it's like, take the exact amount of experience and school time and just change the genders. And that's what happened. And for some reason, the man got paid more than the girl. Mm. In that regard, she's single. She doesn't have any kids or anything like that. And she doesn't get paid as much. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah. So it depends on the, like you said, it depends on the circumstances. And if you are a mom, you need to have that flexibility. So, yeah. So I can see both sides of the argument.
I've always believed in merit-based pay, merit-based raises and promotions. And
oh, yeah.
And it doesn't matter what gender, color, shape, size.
If you're good at your
whatever,
job.
Yeah. You should get rewarded.
Exactly.
That's the American way, in my opinion. If you work hard and do, you know, impress your employer's going to be like, well, that person's valuable.
Yeah.
And when I have Jack Lancaster on, and he'll be on next Monday, by the way, when I have him on, he always talks about it. He's like, I have employees. And he says, within a week, I can tell you if they're of value to me or not. And he says, if they are of value to me and I can see that they're important to what my company is, they're going to get raises and they're going to get. He says, it doesn't matter what gender they are. It doesn't matter what race they are. All that matters is, are they doing the job well or not?
Right.
And if they are, they are going to get rewarded. And if they're not, I'm probably not going to get rewarded. And in some cases, they're even going to lose their jobs because they're not doing their job like he needs them to. All right, we're gonna stay with a little bit of animal motif here.
Yeah,
and this might be an area that Stockton has some perhaps insight into. Stockton is in the acting, the drama world.
Yes,
I need you to help explain something to me. And this story I was reading on Deseret.com in their political area, well, their opinion area, addresses this. Okay, Moana 2 is coming out.
Yes,
in Moana 1 you had things like a giant talking crab.
Yes. Shiny. Yeah.
But then you had the things like a chicken that was not only couldn't talk, was dumb as a post.
Yes.
Hey, hey, or whatever his name was. He, hey, hey, whatever. Anyway, Disney has, throughout the years, made certain animals intelligent with the ability to speak and to, yes, the ability to, I mean, you look at Mickey, right? You look at Donald, you look at Donald Duck, you look at some of these, and then other animals that can't speak at all. They're pets, essentially, to another animal.
Well, because in the same movie, there's also the pig, who's also a lot, who's way smarter than the chicken,
yeah,
but doesn't speak.
Yeah, and in fact, this article talks about that. The pig, meanwhile, can actually understand everything you say.
Yes.
It's incredibly intelligent, but it cannot speak.
Right.
It can only kind of gesture or point or, you know, whatever.
It's basically a person that just can't talk. Or it's basically sentient.
Yeah. So how are we to, is it just, am I picking nits here? Is it, it's Disney, whatever, just have fun. Or, like, do we have to disbelieve or suspend belief in order to go to a Disney movie, knowing that some animals can talk and are intelligent and others can't?
Well, and in that regard, I would say it just depends on the subject matter at hand, because mm-hmm. we have to go into the Disney movie believing that these are set in their own universes. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? There's rules that need to be followed for that universe. And so you're in Mickey Mouse world, and I'll tell you what's confusing. The fact that Mickey Mouse, one of Mickey Mouse's best friends is Goofy, who is a dog, and yet Mickey Mouse has a dog that can't talk named Pluto.
By the way, I found this out. This was one of those today I learned things. Goofy is actually a cow.
No.
Yes, Goofy
really?
Is a cow. And if you look at it, you look at the spots and the nose and everything, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess he is isn't
really?
He? Goofy is a cow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But still, that okay, that cow, dog, both mammals, why can Goofy be, now he is Goofy, he's a little dumb, but he can talk, and Pluto is just a dog.
It's like, what is the hierarchy here?
Yeah.
And then we have Bambi.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah.
All Mom the animals talk Bambi, there.
They're all
the
rabbits and everything.
But there's also hunters. There's humans. So it's
a lot of movies want you to believe that animals can speak, but not around us.
Exactly. Same with toys.
Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah, Secret Life of Pets.
And toys.
And so, yeah, it just really depends on the context, rules of the world, but you do need to, there is the term suspensive disbelief.
Yeah.
And you use that in, it's the same type of thing as you walk into a theater, like to watch a play, and you suspend your disbelief that you're like, okay, I'm going to invest myself in the world, even though I just saw someone like quote unquote die, even though they just, you know, went through the armpit or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, and it's just like, no, you just got to suspend yourself. And I mean, it's the actor's job to keep that, the rules in check, you know?
Okay. Related question. Sort of. Chris Rock getting slapped by Will Smith. Was that a real slap? Or was that a stage slap?
I really think it's real. And here's why.
Okay.
Will Smith would not have done it if it ruined his career. He didn't think it would ruin his career. Well, and so, like, if he knowingly knew it was going to ruin his career, then he wouldn't have done it.
But it kind of has, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying it wasn't scripted. Because it was just, he was in the moment and all that stuff. And also, a little bit of tea for this party. Will Smith and his wife, I think maybe, well, they're,
Jada.
I think they're separated right now.
They are,
and,
yes.
The reason, at the time of the slap, there was already tons of drama happening. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Smith's wife, what was her name again?
Jada,
that's
Smith.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that's the last,
okay.
So we'll do this.
Okay.
Finish your story, though, real quick.
Okay, so really quick. Basically, Jada has, like, I guess slept with other men and all that stuff, even at that time. But Will Smith has been really trying hard to get, you know, to keep that marriage alive. And so he's going to stand up for her, right? In fact, he actually laughs at the joke that Chris Rock was making, and then he looks over at Jada. This is on camera.
And
looks over
at Jada.
She ain't laughing. Mm. And so he's going to stand up for her. But that was probably the worst mistake he could have made.
You heard it here first. The slap was real.
But it didn't end well. So.
We'll take a break. Back with Congressman Celeste Malloy after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
9:31 on KDXU. Let's bring Celeste Molloy in, U.S. House of Representatives. And Celeste, thank you for calling. I know you're a busy young lady, but you took time for us.
I'm happy to. I always love being on your show.
And you're welcome anytime, Celeste. Now, tell us a little bit about your reaction, what you heard about with this BLM ruling about the Northern Corridor, and then what your reaction and the reaction of the other politicians here in the state of Utah has been.
Well, I'll start with the reaction. I think we're all just really frustrated that we're still playing this game. Yeah. I'm sure your listeners get tired of hearing me talk about how much I hate federal overreach, but this is a good example of why I hate it. I've worked on this for a long time. So we have all of these bureaucrats who are doing a supplemental EIS. So what just happened is that they released their supplemental environmental impact statement on the Northern Corridor, and they said that the government's preferred route is one that the county doesn't want. So they're not keeping the spirit of the bargain that the county struck with federal agencies and environmental groups back before the 2009 lands bill. So the county offered up, you know, areas of critical environmental concern and the national conservation areas and some concessions on special designations for land. And one of the things they asked for in return was a route for the Northern Corridor. All of the things they gave up have been in place for a lot of years, and they're still waiting on a Northern Corridor. And this just isn't a way for government to do business with its own citizens. To say, we're going to negotiate with you, we'll settle these issues, and then not actually work in good faith to implement that agreement is not what government's supposed to do. This is why we shouldn't have federal agencies in charge of how everything's run, because they're not accountable. The people in Washington County can't go vote them out of office. They can sort of ignore the county, drag their feet, do the things that they think are right, despite what they already agreed to.
That's a good point right there at the end. They already agreed to it. A lot of people operated in good faith. We're talking not, oh, I hope this happens, but building roads, getting it all set up to make this happen. In fact, somebody once said to me like a week ago, they said, hey, do you think that Washington City or the developers could sue the federal government because they set up all these roads ready for the Northern Corridor? I mean, if you go out there, Exit 13, I mean, it's ready to go, and now the feds are saying, uh-uh.
Yeah, it's a strange game they're playing. I don't really understand their motivations. The solution that the county's offering is better for the tortoises. They would implement Zone 6, which adds acres, like 7,000 acres, to the tortoise reserve. The tortoise counts are high in that area. I mean, the solution that the county's asking for is a win for everybody. And why the agencies are getting in the middle and trying to prevent it is something that I just really don't understand.
Now, one of the things I try to do, Celeste, I try to step back and go, okay, is there something I'm missing? Is there a reason the federal government has decided to make this ruling? Is there something out there? Am I not getting it? And I haven't been able to find a reason yet, Celeste.
I haven't either. And I've talked to a lot of people about it, and I've listened to a lot of people for a lot of years on this issue. And I know there are people who are concerned that if you put a road through a national conservation area that you'll set a precedent.
Yeah.
But I don't think they really understand how precedent works, because in the same piece of legislation that created this national conservation area, it provides for the road. So that's not a precedent. That's an act of Congress. If Congress again said, here's a national conservation area and you can put a road through it, that they can do that even without a precedent. And this one doesn't apply to any national conservation area where the legislation doesn't say you can do a road. So that, like, slippery slope arguments don't apply here. Precedent doesn't apply here. I think there's just a deep ingrained ideology in some people that if you're building something, it must be bad.
Yeah.
And the county has bent over backward to design this road to be tortoise friendly, so the tortoises can move back and forth in the ravines that they like to use, And so a lot of the arguments that are being used are emotional but not science-based. And even some of the traffic data that I've seen isn't really valid scientific data. It's just that people, for whatever reason, have decided that this road is bad, and they're going to do whatever they can to stop it. And it's not right for unelected bureaucrats and people who don't have to account to the public to just decide that what the public has asked for isn't good for them and they shouldn't let them have it. And so they're going to use the system and obscure their motives and obscure their methods, but just drag their feet and make sure it never happens. This is the worst of government.
Now, you're a lawyer. We were talking about precedent a minute ago. Is it possible 1 year, 2 year, 5 years down the road, some legal aid looking for a precedent for something comes across this and goes, oh, I got it. Here's one. Is it possible that happens? Is that what they're saying?
Yes, that is what they're saying. It's just not a valid argument. Mm. Because anybody who came along and used this as an example would have to also say, and we know it's allowed because when Congress created this designation, they also created an authorization for the road.
I wanted to bring up, now you're from Cedar City, prairie dogs played an instrumental part in development in Cedar City. I don't know if you're, if there's a latest or anything on that, but I know it was prairie dogs, not tortoises, up in Iron County.
Yeah, and the people in Iron County had to create an organization, a nonprofit, and sue to protect the private property rights of landowners in southern Utah. Mm. And it just shouldn't be that difficult to be able to develop your own land or live on your own land, farm there, have a cemetery, have a golf course that are already existing and be able to use them. It's become a battle of ideologies, but the ideology that should win at the end of the day is life, liberty, and property. That's what our country is built on. And it's easy to forget that when you get down in the weeds and you're talking about this specific instance and the legal nuances of what's a supplemental EIS and what's an environmental impact statement and why does it matter when the public comments and what's the administrative record. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about, what we're arguing over here, is the ability of the people who live in Washington County and their elected officials to protect their private property rights, to protect their access to their property. Yeah. And to make sure that they're acting in the best interest of the health, safety, and welfare of the people in the county.
Now, I've heard people say that if the environmentalists only knew what not having the Northern Corridor would do to the environment here in southern Utah, they would change their mind. I mean, you know, one of the original, and they didn't settle on this one, but one of the original plans was, well, let's make Boulevard one way and 100 South another way, one-way street. Yeah. And it just boggles the mind that how much cars sitting in traffic idling with their exhaust. That, to me, it seemed like that would do a lot more harm than relocating a few tortoises.
Yeah, and we're not even relocating tortoises. The road will go through the reserve. It'll be tortoise permeable. They can move back and forth across it. It'll be a thoroughfare. Mm. So you're not going to be pulling off in the tortoise reserve. And we actually already have other roads that go through the reserve. And additionally, the only reason the county's offering up Zone 6, the additional acres with tortoises on it, to add to the reserve is as mitigation for any impacts from the road. If the road doesn't go through, there's no Zone 6. And I've had this conversation a lot with people where they want to say, well, I don't think we should have a road, but I do think the county should offer up Zone 6, which is like saying, I don't think you should have your house, but I want you to pay a mortgage. It's insane. Yeah. Nobody would ever do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. So, all right. The future, then. Do you think the change of administration here in a couple of months is going to help this, or are we stuck at this point?
So the Trump administration approved a record of decision on a route for the Northern Corridor, and then the Biden administration came in and rolled that decision back. So there's no reason that a new Trump administration wouldn't make the same decision they made before.
Are we in for a fight? Is it going to take lawsuits and things, or do you think that when Trump comes in, he can immediately say, you know what, this is screwed up. Let's fix this.
I think we are going to get it fixed pretty quickly. I've been wrong before. There are a lot of fights we're going to have. When you change administrations, there are a lot of decisions that have to be made. There are a lot of new people who come along. And it takes a little time to get everybody lined up and going in the same direction. But I'm confident that we can get them lined up and going in the same direction. There's a long history here. There are a lot of people who worked on it who are already up to speed on it. And so there's really no reason that it would take us years to get this done.
All right. I think, Doug, we have a call. Doug wants to talk to you real quick, I think, about the topic. Okay. So let's bring Doug in. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you. How are you two doing this morning?
Great. Thank you.
Excellent. Yes, Celeste, congratulations on the election. And I am very grateful of the turnout. It's a little interesting how they're still counting votes. I talked to both of you a couple of weeks before the election. I was very concerned about them stealing the election again, as I put it. But anyway, I hope we can get in there and they don't, you know, take away those few that are left. That's awful close. Anyway, speaking quickly on the tortoise, and I'm all for a little more access in our area down here to free up the traffic and that. And as far as the tortoises go, I think what you mean is they'd probably put some sort of a tunnel or an access way underneath the roadway so the tortoises can go back and forth. It wouldn't block them. It wouldn't hamper them really in any way at all.
Well, they'd actually put bridges over them. Tortoises like ravines. They like rocky, steep areas. And when you're building a road, you don't like rocky, steep areas. So the road will fly over the areas that the tortoises like to go under.
Yes, the tortoise would have access underneath the roadway. You bet.
That sounds like a great idea.
I'm just hopeful that we'll be able to get that done because it's getting to be more and more of a traffic jam around town, and the more little intersect, you know, byways and roundabouts through Ray's to get around in the traffic, all the better.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Anybody
Thank
who's
you,
ever been in St. George on President's Day weekend knows that we need more roads.
Yes, we do. We're talking with Celeste Molloy, the U.S. House of Representatives. Celeste has meeting after meeting after meeting. That's part of the job, Celeste. But, you know, just having you be accessible to us here in southern Utah, I know obviously we're big supporters of you down here. You're from here. But just having the accessibility to you where you kind of got your ear on things over there is very, very important to us. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about some of the nominations or the cabinet members that Trump is appointing. But unfortunately, you got to go pretty quickly. But do you see any big hitches or anything happening with these?
Well, you're seeing the same news I'm seeing. Some of these picks have been controversial, and there are a few of them that might have some bumps in the Senate. So the president nominates these positions, and then the Senate has to confirm them. And there are some senators who are having heartburn with some of the picks, which I don't think surprises anybody. When Trump was in office before, he was willing to make some controversial personnel decisions. Some of them worked out, some of them didn't. This is all just part of the process. It's fun to watch. It makes for good ratings for news channels, but it's no reason to be alarmed.
Okay.
What we know we're going to get out of a Trump administration is a lot of changes. And if you get nervous about changes, just stop watching the news for a little while because you're going to be better off when we're done with it.
Yeah, good point.
And if you love political drama, this is going to be your season. You're going to be thrilled for the next few months.
A lot of hearings. All right. And thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Like I said, anytime you want to come on the show, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
Celeste Molloy from Washington, D.C. It's 9:45 on KDXU. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:50 on KDXU. We'll bring Stockton back in as well. And thanks again to Celeste Molloy for being on this show with us. A couple of news items from The Wire today. First of all, this is amazing to me. 60 million people watched the boxing match between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Jake Paul, a YouTube sensation. I don't know what that really entails. I guess a lot of your videos have gone viral, or you have a lot of followers or something. I don't know, Stockton. But
being a jerk. No, yeah. I'm just
apparently,
kidding.
Yeah,
not every YouTuber is a jerk, but Jake Paul and his brother Logan are both just, I just think are.
Really?
I don't get it. I do not get it. I never did from day one.
So 4 months ago, I don't know if people remember this, Mike Tyson, and I've never been a Tyson fan. I mean, he was kind of a jerk when he was a young guy, and he got convicted of rape once and had to serve time in jail and has a face tattoo. And, well, you know, he's not, but he's older. We tend to soften our stance on people when they get old, right? He's 58 now.
Of course.
Mike Tyson, on a flight, a cross-country flight, I think they had to do an emergency landing because he had some kind of medical incident, and then never did tell us exactly what it was. But in reading about it after the fact, he had 18 pints of blood. He lost 25 pounds. So I don't know what happened, if he had a heart attack or stroke or what happened, but this was four months ago.
He almost died. And for some reason, they were like, nope, we've already invested too much money. Your life doesn't matter. I'm sure he was like, yeah, I can do the fight, but still, it was.
They postponed it like a month or two, but still, he shouldn't have been in the ring.
He shouldn't have been in the ring in the first place. He's 58 years old, and it's just, and you're like, oh well, that's not that bad.
Well, you know what? If he was fighting me, I'm 58.
Well, yeah,
that would be different. But then you're fighting a guy 30 years younger than you.
Exactly, and that's the issue there. It's the Rocky Balboa conundrum, because the sixth Rocky Balboa movie, or seventh, I forget, the movie that's actually called Rocky Balboa,
uh-huh,
is literally this exact premise.
I think I gave up on Rockies after three or four of them.
Oh, well, that's a shame, because this one's good.
Pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, so Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, he's old, he's running an Italian restaurant,
mm-hmm,
and then this new up-and-coming boxer is becoming like one of the best ever, and then people are like, well, would you have been able to beat Rocky? And then he's like, well, if he shows up, I could do it. And they do like a simulation, and it says that Rocky would win. And so he gets upset, and so he challenges Rocky to a fight.
Does he actually fight the old guy?
Yeah, Rocky actually fights. Oh. Spoiler alert.
It's okay.
He loses. Rocky loses.
Oh, what?
But it's...
Wait a minute. Has Rocky ever lost in any of the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he has.
The first movie, he loses.
But he kept getting back up.
Exactly. That's the whole point, is that you get up and you gotta fly now.
Yeah. Later on, he gets the eye
but
of a tiger.
With
so.
Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, it's the exact same story, except there's no eye of the tiger, and it's just an old man. I mean, Mike Tyson's still buff, but biology isn't kind. You know, age is not kind.
No, it's not. Age comes to us all. It reminds me of the quote. Somebody asked Michael Jordan when the Golden State Warriors were having their great years winning championships over and over again. They asked, 50-something-year-old Michael Jordan, could you have beaten this team? And Michael Jordan said, yeah. And they said, by how much? He said, oh, 3 or 4 points. And they said, why so close? He said, well, I'm 58 years old now. Yeah. Anyway, so 60 million people watched my daughter, who I'm pretty sure my daughter has never watched a boxing match in her life. I'm not in my home when she lived with me. She's 20 now and married, and she actually came in yesterday and said, hey, Dad, did you watch the fight? And I'm like, what? Because coming from her, I'm like, what? But she actually watched the fight, and here's my question about that fight, right? Tyson coming off life-threatening, whatever it was. Do you think it was fixed? Do you think that they said, look, Jake, you're going to get your $10 million or $20 or $50 or whatever the payday is. Spar around with Mike for a while, but don't really try to knock him out because he's old and you would lose a PR war if you
did that. Well, absolutely. Well, and I mean, I follow some influencers that were just straight up like, yeah, there's no way there's going to be a knockout on either side. And the fact is that that's exactly what happened. And also, from what I understand, there wasn't even really any big solid hits.
No.
It was just kind of them just dancing. Kind of dancing around, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, come on. You could have nibbled his ear a little bit.
Ooh, a little Evander Holyfield reference. Yeah. No, that was the other guy.
Your teeth seem to be in good shape. Yeah. You know, you got those chompers still.
This also on the wire today. We're down to 3 minutes, so I want to get this in real quick. This was straight off the wire. A recent Pentagon report says a UFO nearly hit a commercial airliner off the coast of New York. The incident is documented in a report reviewing hundreds of unidentified flying objects cases, including balloons, satellites, and birds, highlighted in an ongoing investigation. The report details a cylindrical object flying over the Atlantic Ocean and almost crashing into a commercial jet within a few hundred feet. According to the flight crew, several other cases involved military aircraft being followed by UFOs. Officials heard witnesses' recounts of UFO encounters during UAP's hearing on Capitol Hill Wednesday. I interviewed Chris Stewart, former congressman, who was a lifelong pilot. He's one of the greatest pilots in American history. He flew bombers. He flew the fastest planes available. He was also a rescue pilot for helicopters. He said, "I have absolutely 100% seen things up in the skies that I cannot explain. I have no idea how objects could move, look, and feel the things they did."
Hmm.
So this report, it's kind of saying, yeah, there's stuff up there we don't understand. I don't know your stance, Stockton, on UAPs or UFOs, but it's becoming abundantly clear that there's something out there.
I would say this to a lot of people. They will say that technology has become kind of stagnant lately, and in the sense that, like, why are we still driving on the ground?
Yeah.
And I will say this. While we're not in a Cold War, I will say that there's certainly a bit of a technology war happening.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some country out there, I won't say which one, that has been, trying some stuff. Mm. And I feel like that's what a good chunk of these UAP sightings could be
some kind of technology we don't know yet. We don't understand yet.
As for is there life out in the universe besides us? I think there's a yes.
You'd have to be fooled to say no, because there's literally thousands of planets just like Earth.
Incomprehensible how big it is. It's just. But do why I think they're here?
Why they would come here and be hidden and. I don't know. I really, at this point, I'm the jury's still out for me on these things. But there's certainly some stuff you just can't explain. So, kind of like ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts? Well, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But not in the traditional sense.
Yeah. I personally, my belief on ghosts, I believe there are spirits walking amongst us, but they cannot harm humans. I believe that there's enmity keeping them from doing that. That's my religious, I guess, and otherwise belief. As far as the Northern Corridor, I believe that thing should exist, and hopefully it will exist, and we'll get that taken care of. Thanks again to Celeste Malloy. Thank you, Stockton, for being on the show today. Appreciate you being here, man. It's good to talk to you. And we will step aside. Got a full scheduled week of guests, including we're going to talk with Mayor Nanette Billings on Thursday about this whole bake a pie with the mayor thing and how that turned out. That's on Thursday. Stay with us. It's going to be a fun week.